Welcome, 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 everyone, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I wanted to talk about vaccine mandates, how they're manifesting themselves on the national level, the local level, the state level, and even on the level of private companies and firms, and really what's working, what's not, and really how these different levels of government and even private enterprise are interacting with each other. So at first, I wanted to take a look at the Supreme Court ruling that came out of the Supreme Court in the last couple of weeks on the Biden administration's executive order on behalf of the Department of Labor, and specifically on the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, from here on out. And there was a lawsuit taken up by 27 states against the and some businesses as well. It was a lawsuit taken against this executive order and against this mandate that required any business with over 100 employees to vaccinate all of its employees against COVID-19. So I want to take a look at both sides of this case and sort of break it down here. So you have the plaintiffs here, which would be the independent businesses and the 27 states. And they're going up against OSHA. And OSHA was running under the assumption, or under their mission statement, this Department of Labor mandate that would be operated through OSHA would operate under OSHA standards and its mission that OSHA is ensuring occupational safety. And that is, quote, safe and healthful working conditions. That's straight from the Department of Labor. And the standards are, and they must be, quote, reasonably necessary or appropriate to provide safe or healthful employment. So anything that OSHA does has to be concerned with things that are that make safe and healthful employment possible in a business in the United States. That is their job, and that's what the Department of Labor and OSHA was going to do by having this vaccine mandate on companies and firms with over 100 employees. This would be, in their eyes, a measure to make sure that the healthful and safe employment was carried out and protected for millions of Americans. This was an attempt. This is supposedly going to impact 80 million Americans working, and obviously the countless others who they would come in contact with in a relatively short amount of time, as we've seen this thing spreads rather quickly, particularly now. Now, the 27 states and the Federation of Businesses put forward that, well, this is not in OSHA's purview. This isn't directly related to the workplace, and this is something that's been settled at the state level, and this is something that's controlled at the state level. So OSHA and the federal government shouldn't be interfering. So those are the two sides of this, this debate. You have the one posits that, yes, this is concerned with workplace safety, and the other that says, well, no, this is kind of greater than workplace safety, and it's really a matter of the states regulating it, not the federal government. As the states up to this point have had a pretty much a patchwork of different vaccine mandates and COVID measures since the start of the pandemic in late 2019 into early 2020. So the Supreme Court ended up ruling with the states, as many of you already know, under the logic that OSHA cannot, and the Department of Labor cannot take measures of, quote, of public health into consideration. The conservative supermajority in the Supreme Court came to the conclusion that the federal Department of Labor OSHA regulation could not preempt or supersede the state regulations and state vaccine mandates that are already in place. Even though in the United States Constitution there is the supremacy clause that says that federal rulings override those at the state level. So do with that what you will. So in that case, we've looked at the Supreme Court. This is what they've said. The states are going to be the final decisions when it, the final decision makers when it comes to vaccine mandates. And that's incredibly unfortunate in terms of my thoughts on this Supreme Court case. I'm of the opinion of Justice Sotomayor, which she said that, quote, when we are wise, we know not to displace the judgments of experts acting within their sphere. Congress marked out and under presidential control to deal with emergency conditions. Today, we are not wise. In the face of a still raging pandemic, this court tells the agency charged with protecting worker safety that it may not do so in all the workplaces needed. As disease and death continue to mount, this court tells the agency that it cannot respond in the most effective way possible. I agree with that sentiment. This disease, the COVID-19 is still raging through the United States. It is still killing people every day. You cannot say that it isn't. And in order for the Supreme Court to shoot down a regulation and a mandate on OSHA's behalf to keep workers safe is infringing on OSHA's right to do so. But at any rate, the states are the final word. That's the decision. So how do we move forward then? Well, we look at what the states are doing. You look at states like California, who are really pushing the envelope with COVID-19 vaccination requirements. There's even talk of getting all publicly educated school children vaccinated, sort of a requirement in order to be enrolled. And this is something that I tend to agree with as well. There are all sorts of vaccines that school children have to get already. Why not COVID-19? Once it's safe, of course. This is particularly for younger children. The vaccines haven't been tested, I think, for children under five. So this would be children five and up who would be getting these vaccines. And that's really when I think it should be coming in. And it is a situation now where, particularly with Omicron, there is a large spike in children who are getting COVID and who are getting sick with it. And they are not protected with the vaccines because they just haven't rolled out in the same way. So I think instituting a mandate across the state of California to get children vaccinated is going to be a great thing for them. And you cannot hear Republicans say, no, that's tyrannical. That's too far. It's overreach. Because that's not the case, according to the Supreme Court. The states are the final say. And anything that the states say is the final word with regards to their population. It doesn't matter. It's what the state says, right? That's the Supreme Court's ruling. So you can't, if you're a more right-leaning fellow or woman, I suppose, or anyone, if you're a more right-leaning person, or if you're somebody who doesn't believe in vaccine mandates at the very least, you can't go after the state of California. Well, because the states have the final word. The same is true in cities and localities. If you go to New York City, you have to show your proof of vaccination to even get inside of a restaurant. The same is true in Washington, D.C. at the moment. Anytime you want to go out, you have to show your vaccine cards. And again, you can't push back because the Supreme Court explicitly said that states and localities have done their job to mitigate COVID-19, and it is on them. They are the final word. And so that brings me on a little side note here with a news story that came out the other day about Sarah Palin and her little trip to New York City. So Sarah Palin, while in New York City to take on a defamation trial that she's holding, a suit that she's filing against the New York Times, she broke New York City's vaccine mandate and dined in a restaurant, in a public restaurant, even though A, she was unvaccinated, and B, she'd already tested positive for COVID-19. So not only was she unvaccinated, but she broke the city's guidelines in terms of isolation after a positive test for COVID-19. And so again, if you look at the Supreme Court's ruling that states and localities have the final say in what their citizens and people who are in their cities and in their areas ought to do with regards to COVID, Sarah Palin is going against her own party's logic. The conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court ruled that states and localities have the right to enforce the rules that they want. It's not the federal government's job, but it's the states and localities. And so by Sarah Palin breaking that law, she's turning against her own ideology and putting dozens and dozens and dozens of New Yorkers at risk of getting COVID-19. So anyway, I thought I would return back to the sort of larger theme, as we've taken a little detour, the sort of larger theme on, well, what are the effects? What is this working? Are these vaccine mandates working? And so the short answer is yes. Yes, they are. There was an estimate that as of November of 2021, this is from the Commonwealth Fund, as of November of 2021, the COVID, this is before Omicron, by the way, the COVID-19 vaccine mandates, or not mandates, but rollout from the United States has saved 1.1 million lives. I'll just say that again. 1.1 million lives as of November of 2021. At the time of recording, we're at the end of January here, and the Omicron variant has just swashed through big cities all over the United States, and now it's finally moving out into the suburbs and the rural parts of the country. But even still, in November, 1.1 million lives have been saved. That's more than the populations of the entire states of Montana, Rhode Island, Delaware, South Dakota, North Dakota, Alaska, DC, Vermont, and Wyoming. We saved an entire state's population of Montana in a year because of these vaccines. However, these lives are not being saved in equal areas across the United States. As one might assume, in counties that tended to vote for President Joe Biden in the 2020 election, there's generally a higher vaccination rate, simply because those people tend to not believe the disinformation that's floating around the vaccines. And in pro-Trump counties, in counties that predominantly voted for the former president, there is a much higher number of deaths, hospitalizations from COVID-19. So much so that an NPR article that I'm going to link here, and again, this is as of November, individuals in pro-Trump counties are three times as likely to die from COVID-19 than those in pro-Biden counties. Three times as likely. And to tie it back to the mandates, those counties that, you know, again, New York City, and many of the counties in California, LA County, San Francisco County, Ventura County, counties down in San Diego, up to the Bay Area, Alameda County, you have Napa, Sonoma, you have all these counties that lean more towards Biden politically, and those are the states and counties that have the vaccine mandates. Those are the ones where people aren't dying three times as much compared to their neighbors. You know, these vaccine mandates work. And whether they're implemented at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level, it doesn't matter. These vaccines save lives. These vaccines and the vaccine mandates are preventing people from dying, and not just some people. 1.1 million and counting as of 3 months ago. To push back against these vaccine mandates, to push back against vaccine mandates in general, whether it's chickenpox, polio, TB, all of these vaccines, they work. The reason we don't have a polio crisis anymore is because we had a vaccine for polio. The reason we don't have smallpox anymore is because we created vaccines for smallpox. And the reason we're not going to have COVID-19 anymore is because we've created vaccines for COVID-19.